You know when you hear my voice first that you're in for a long 45 minutes. What's James Sharman up to? Who knows? Could be getting his real estate license. Could be getting his motorcycle license. But I think he had a bike back in the day, didn't he?
So I think so.
Probably has that. Yeah. So you're stuck with us, Brendan Dunlop and Thomas Dobby. But we'll try to make this 45 minutes at least considerably more entertaining than the season's been for Chelsea supporters. Hey?
Whoa, doctor. Eh? Yeah.
My goodness. Lots of things to get to. We'll talk a little MLS, believe it or not, because MLS Dobby's in the house.
I think I shocked you in the elevator coming up here by saying, oh, did you see the Dallas-Seattle game?
And you're, absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah. I perched myself on the couch last night when I got back from Michigan, went for Michigan-Rutgers game.
There we
and
go.
I came home and I went through a bunch of Premier League on PVR, watched a bunch of highlights, and then settled into some MLS. It was pretty ridiculous, actually, how much MLS I watched last night.
I don't think I knew you were going to Michigan until I saw it on Instagram.
Right.
But I'm going to Lansing next week for Michigan State and Maryland.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Nice.
Be my first time down there. It'd be
great. Yeah, so, it was. It's a yearly tradition. This was year two. Went to Notre Dame last year and now Michigan. So we're there's like five buddies that we just started this. Next year, we're going to go to Florida State, I think.
Great.
Go somewhere hot.
So you feel refreshed as usual to start a Monday?
Sure. I'm off work this week, so yeah. I'm here.
All right. Non-collared shirt,
I'm
Dobby.
Non-collared shirt. I'm not working this week. I took holidays because I had some. It's a staycation. I'm chilling, so I feel great.
So
yeah.
For those of you that think right we don't earn this paycheck, just remember this one. Hey, rack that back. Let's talk footy. I don't even know where to begin with Chelsea anymore. Like literally, like running out of words.
We've had the same conversation.
It's cliche to even say that now.
It's really tough. Yeah, the fact that there's seven league losses, the most they've ever had under Mourinho in any Premier League season, and it's November 9th. It's November 9th.
Sharman always opens with the date. Yeah, there
it is. It's just like it doesn't make any sense. And for people like us who watch the game and try to find that reasoning for people, that's kind of part of what this podcast is about.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I'm running out of reasoning. And a lot of the speculation is that there's these bad apples and players and there's, the dressing room's a disaster. But ultimately, these players have pride and these players are still playing for themselves and playing for future contracts. So it's not like they've just stopped playing and want to get Mourinho fired. That's not the case. I just think it's a combination of a number of top players all being in bad form at the same time. Mm-hmm. Some players losing it and the confidence. And when it goes as a team, it's fascinating to watch as a neutral who's not a Chelsea fan. It's for a team to go from being the best team in the league, winning the league comfortably, being so good defensively, to what this now is, mm-hmm. where you legitimately look at the table in shock at where they are. It's stunning.
There's so many elements to it, and you look at that narrow loss away to Stoke, and you're analyzing them. Anyone in Toronto, or actually anyone who watches Canadian media, will get this. It's like we analyze Chelsea the way we talk about the Leafs. Like they played a good game at Stoke. Chelsea did.
Moral
they
victory.
Played better.
Yeah,
they'd
the
improved.
Old moral
yeah.
victory.
Moral victory.
The losers.
They lost again, but they were better than the last time out. Mike, moral victory. Yeah.
They almost losers. Built off that midweek boost against Dynamo Kiev. Like 2-1 squeaker against Kiev midweek was seen as a good result because they got back on track. And at this point, it is. Anytime you can win, it is a good result. But my God, it just to fathom where they are right now. And I think even last week I said, I still think that I'd take them for top four. They're falling so far away from being even in the top four conversation.
They
would almost have
incredible.
To go undefeated the rest of the season to be in that mix.
They'd have to win outright. They're the first defending champions to lose seven of their opening 12 matches the following season. First time in the Roman era that they've lost three in a row. We said they look much better, but they still can't score. Stoke had 37% possession.
Yeah.
37%. That's insane.
Yeah, and even like the confidence, right? And the sad thing and the scary thing, really, I would say, is that Eden Hazard might have played his best Premier League game of the season.
Yeah.
And he still couldn't inspire them to victory and couldn't find the net, even though he had a couple chances. I mean, there's just so many problems there. And it just, remember Pedro? Remember when he scored in his first game?
Yeah.
Oh, what a great signing this is going to be. He's been invisible.
Lifeless.
He was a little bit better at Stoke. He had a chance early on, but it's just gone so far south so quickly that you really can't see how it's going to be crazy to see where they finish. I mean, again, I think top half is a certainty. I still think that they pull it together at some point and get in that top half, but I wouldn't be surprised now if they finish ninth or 10th. I'm changing my tune from last week entirely.
Not even Europa League. No Europe for Chelsea.
It's getting to that point.
Boy, how will they recruit players in the offseason? Oh, my God.
If only they had some money.
You know what's funny, though? And it's disappointing from our end wanting to see the entertainment value increase. But Chelsea fans are so, like, calm. That they're not angry. They're still supporting Mourinho on the away on the road with all the masks and the giant head banners and that. And afterwards, like, still cheering for him and cheering on the team.
Give him credit, actually. You know what? That's I'm a fan of that. I like that. It's good.
It's rare. It's certainly not something we expect from a big club, and not a big club in London. But I love the headline. Well, one of the headlines Sunday night or this morning. Chelsea's disastrous season could cost Roman Abramovich £100 million if he sacks Jose. So Jose gets a £10 million severance package, as I'm sure most of you do in your normal jobs. I know Dobby's is $12.
$12.
And then the rumor, I don't even think I'd get that. I get no benefits. The hot rumor is that Diego Simeone would be the next one in, right? Which I don't think is the right idea. But so based on this article, the money in which he would demand, this is for his transfer kitty, this is where it would come from. Like, my God. But and even just the idea of, like, Jose leaving, be it on his own, which I still think is the only way he goes, he quits. Which if they're not able to string together, I think 3 wins before Christmas, I think he'll do that. I don't think Simeone's the right guy to come in after that.
No, but
it's not mid-season, and just, you know, not for that club.
Who would be? I mean, who would be to steady? Like, it's just.
I think mid-season you got to go down the same route they went before. shout out to who am I thinking of? Ian Doyle, what's his name? Ian.
Dowie?
Ian Dowie.
Yeah.
Alan Kirbishley.
Alan Kirbishley. Oh, is every job.
Still linked with every job. Watch out, Greg Vanney. Alan Kirbishley is the bookie's favorite.
Exactly.
I don't even know why I made that reference. We'll talk MLS a little bit later. Anything else on Chelsea? Did we get any tweets on Chelsea today?
Well, Rude Hullett didn't tweet us, actually.
Oh, wow. Rude Hullett's tweeting us. Thank you, Thomas Rongen.
I like the headline I saw that Rude Hullett says Chelsea are like Tiger Woods. I thought it was pretty good, actually. Quotes, he says, you know, people see Chelsea and think we can beat them. They lost the aura of invincibility. You can feel it. You can sense it. The players see it. The opposition not afraid of you anymore. To get that back, you get it only by results. I mean, it is like Tiger Woods. I mean, you remember players being so intimidated playing with him. And on Sunday, if he was in the hunt, it was over. And then how quickly it fell and how quickly he went from the top. I appreciate and like that reference, because I thought that it was pretty obviously a team sport to an individual player sport, but it's that sapping of confidence and that there's no belief in the team, and just to go from being the best to not only mediocre but incredibly poor. 14 points behind Leicester.
It's shocking.
14 points behind Leicester.
Didn't see that coming this
Fathom
year.
Fathom saying that 3 months ago.
No one in John Molinaro's season preview predicted that might happen.
My word.
November 9th. This is the position that Chelsea are in.
I wish I could. That's a good timing. I just looked at the tweets, and John Homer said, will Leicester finish higher than Chelsea? I literally just looked. It's very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
There's quite a few Leicester comments, and we're going to give them their love, because not enough people are. The people are talking about Jamie Vardy. But I feel like English strikers who go on a run of bagging goals always get the attention. But Leicester as a whole, I mean.
But, I mean, 9 straight games, right? He's one off Van Nistelrooy's record of 10 in a row. It's just, and it was a penalty this week, but he did draw the penalty, right?
Yeah.
He forced it. So,
have you ever seen the fans demand the kick taker before and then they get it?
Yeah.
I can't think of once.
It was interesting. Also, the way he smashed that in, I mean, that just signified how confident he is right now, right? He just absolutely blasted it right into the...
Sorry, Riyad, you're not getting another penalty ever.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But, I mean, when you look at that, to just get back to that question, you look at the table, it's 12 matches in, so you got 26 matches left, mm-hmm. right? Let's throw a number out there of if Chelsea turn it around starting their next match after the international break against Norwich, okay? Mm-hmm. 26 matches. Let's say they put together a fantastic run of you know, last season title winning kind of form. Say they win 18 of those 26 and draw three. That's even high. Say they win
18 is a lot.
Say they win 16 of those and draw four and lose four. That's 52 more points. So that would only get them to 63.
That's 63 top, that's
points. And that is an unbelievable turnaround, right? Like that's,
that is a Leicester run.
Last year, Manchester United finished fourth with 70.
Wow.
16-4-4, and they would finish on 63 points. Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that. If they went 18-3-3, they'd finish on 57 plus 11. They'd finish on 68. 18-3-3 wouldn't even be good enough for top four last year.
I rarely like to tell you and communicate when you've impressed me, but the fact that you can navigate the internet that quickly to be able to come up in the thought process to look at the fixture list and then do the math to tell me what that would what be and calculate to, hella impressive. They've got Norwich, as you said, in their next run out on the 21st, and then they're away to Spurs, then they're home to Bournemouth, a big Champions League visit from Porto. Who knows if Jose will be there by then?
Yeah, they're still got work to do in the league, in the Champions League. I mean, obviously beating Kiev was big, but they're not out of the woods yet either.
And the big gut check time though, December 14th trip to Leicester. What are you made of?
There you go.
That's what they'll be singing. We've referenced Leicester enough. I know we'll get to North London Derby, but it's next in my list here. Watford 1, Leicester 2. Easy to overlook when they're beating teams like Watford, but reality
Watford's
is
been good away
Watford
from home.
Have been good, but the reality is the reason Leicester are still up there after 12 matches is because they're winning all of those games against teams that you'd think a team that can score goals with the efficiency that they do can and should. 47 points they've taken from 21 matches. You talk about
that's
the form.
That's the number.
Yeah,
I was wondering going back to last year, and I mentioned last week, and I should have done it.
Talk about the run that Chelsea would need to go on.
You know,
that
there should
run
be,
right there is
there
Champions
should be a
League
website.
Run.
There should be a website. If there isn't, and there probably isn't. People much smarter than us could probably tweet it to us.
Something British.
There should be just a website where you can pull up the table from a certain date. So, like, say from January 23rd of last year, and just pull it up and see the points since then, and it just calculates it for you. Because I'd love to see where Leicester sit from when they started that run to save themselves last season.
I know.
Because I bet you they're top.
We have quite a few university students that listen to this podcast and distract themselves from growing their minds, at least Monday afternoons, probably into Tuesday. If you invent this app that Dobby's just gifted you, please at least give us a mention in your press release. We're not asking for money because legally we have no grounds, but at least give us something there because I think you gave him a good one. Vardy scored in 9 straight matches. No English player has done that before. He's starting to get the plaudits now. Mentioned, you know, Mahrez picks up the ball to take the kick and the fans booing him. I thought, you know, Mahrez didn't have to do it. There are a lot of other players that wouldn't have given him the ball. I thought good on him. And it also, I think, shows where the team is at as a whole. That, you know, he knew it's easy for players to dismiss the fans in those moments, especially if Mahrez is confident he's going to bag the goal. They'd still celebrate if Mahrez had scored. But the fact that he turned the ball over is because he knows he goes in the room, he's going to hear it from the guys. And that's more important to him than hearing it from the fans. I thought the run that Leicester's on just equally is shocking.
So 22 plus 20, 47 points in their last 21 is what you said, right?
Yeah.
That is crazy. I would be shocked if a team has more than... Well, no, you know what? Now that I think of it, Man City won a bunch to end last season, so they're probably just ahead of them. Because remember, Man City won, I think, their last five last season because it transferred into this year. So it's going to be close. Anyways, somebody do the math and get back to us.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, please. Brandon Boyd also tweeted. Oh, Brandon in St. Louis?
That's Brandon in St. Louis.
Oh, my word.
It's been a long time, man.
I didn't even realize. Brandon Boyd. Leicester has conceded 20 goals but lost one game and sit third. Is it sustainable? Is Europa possible? Yeah, I think that. You know, we've seen this before is the only thing.
Recently.
Right. and it doesn't always last. But with this team, Europa League, sixth place, I don't know. I think it is possible. I still think they're outsiders to do it.
Yeah,
to actually see it through to the end. But it would be a great story. It really it makes fans of lesser clubs.
Yeah.
Smaller clubs like me to, you know, it gives you hope. Oh, yeah. Buddy, your club's in huge trouble. Yeah.
Well, we might not have time for that conversation, but we'll see if we can get to it. Shout out to Brandon St. Louis. Thanks for listening. And everybody else as well, not just old school listeners from back in the hardcore sports radio days, but it's a bit of nostalgia to see that through, to see the guys still listen. North London Derby. Arsenal fans will be furious because... Look where we are in the table, and you talk Leicester before us. Mm. There's no system to this podcast. I'm reading off of an email draft here.
It made sense.
Exactly. You got a few things to take away from this. Lots of people are saying Harry Kane is ready now. Harry Redknapp says that Spurs are title contenders next season. Mm. But I took away from this game, like as many people will, and this is so easy with Arsenal, it's become cliche, but question the mentality. Because earlier in the day, they watched City draw away to Villa, their home to Spurs, a fixture that they have been better in. They could have gone 2 points clear at the top, and they couldn't find the back of the net. Giroud had a hat trick of misses.
Yeah, he had a bunch of misses, but then you look at it from the other angle. I mean, Spurs were leading into the 80th minute, yeah. And if they had won, all of a sudden, they would have been 3 points off the top.
Are Spurs the most underrated team?
They've only lost once. Them and Leicester are the only ones. They are playing well.
Yeah. They're playing better each week.
They are. They're coming around. Would I put them in the title conversation? No. But can they finish top four? Definitely.
You think they can?
I think they can finish top four. I mean, when you look at, again, with Chelsea out of that mix, Liverpool sitting in 10th, mm-hmm. 4 points behind Spurs. I mean, Man City and Arsenal, you're figuring to get there. Man United with their, Catenaccio grinding out results and not conceding goals will probably get there.
How would you say that in Dutch? Van Catenaccio? Where's Thomas Rongen at?
Van Goligem.
Let us know.
Van Goligem.
I tried to make
Van Hoff Museum,
cheeky remember? Sound Van Portuguese Hoff. Last night during the Sportsnet Central, the Neymar goal. I think it was brilliant. Jackie had it was a fantastic goal. If you haven't seen it, it's probably on sportsnet.ca, hashtag gotta see somewhere. But Jackie had the pack and she said, what did you think of that goal? And nothing came to my mind. And I just tried to say cheeky in a Portuguese way. Cheeky-ish. So we'll see if that catches on.
Probably not, man. Good luck.
Yeah, wait till I use it in a Hockey Central pack the next time that comes around.
But, I mean, Arsenal, again, it's just they're so Jekyll and Hyde, right? And I think we mentioned it last Monday. It's like, oh, big week for them. Go to Bayern. And then they got Spurs. Yeah. And look, they get thumped at Bayern.
They got embarrassed.
And their Champions League hopes are, you know, finished.
Well, there was a fake result for them to beat Bayern in the sense that we thought they had a Champions League chance because before that match, when they toppled Bayern in London, we said they were already out.
Yeah.
And it was almost bad for them to have won. So now this is the team you're looking at.
Yeah.
A team that will go to Munich and get thumped 5-1 with a team squad that's not the strongest.
But Olympiacos coming back in Zagreb. I mean, they're done.
But the injuries are catching up. I mean, no Theo.
Definitely.
No surprise.
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
No Ox. Bellerin has been one of the better players this year. No Ramsey, no Wilshere. Didn't know Danny Welbeck was still on the payroll.
Yeah.
Piers Morgan tweeted in watching the match, or I think maybe when the squad had come out, from Henri and Bergkamp to Giroud and Campbell. Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel Campbell deserves a chance at Arsenal. I think he deserves a chance in the Premier League. I think he's a good player. He's not a 90-minute guy. He's not a Champions League front man, I'd say. But you can understand why diehard fans, I know Piers Morgan's not the only one that feels that way. It's got to feel, you know, pretty crappy watching Olivier Giroud miss the boatloads of chances he gets, seeing that he can, you know, come on and score as a super sub, but can't deliver when they need him the most.
But this is all part of it, right? I mean, you talk about, it's such a marathon trying to win the Premier League. And this season is weird because it's like, who's going to step up and grab it? Who wants it, right? And Man City go to Villa and can't get the job done. And Arsenal, again, like, but that's what it is. You have to have a squad that can handle those injuries. And it's not, you know, it's not coincidence anymore. Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain, they're just often injured players.
Yeah.
Great players when
permanently
they're
injured.
On. Great players when they're in form and when they're healthy, but not consistent. So you have to make allowance for that. It's just like Aguero. Man City have put themselves in a bad spot where they don't have enough cover for Aguero. And you know that he's not going to play a 38-game Premier League season. It hasn't happened ever in his career.
He's going to get hurt.
He's going to miss games, and you need to have that cover. And they've sold themselves short with just really having Bonny up front as a certified guy. And I don't even know if he's elite enough to carry that load for them.
I don't think he is.
And it's the same thing with Arsenal. I mean, I think that he's actually done a decent job at filling out the squad, and there is depth there so that they can handle it a bit better. But it's been a tough run for them with injuries and the international break, hopefully for them, that, you know, they don't get any more injuries and the players can heal up and they have a couple weeks to do it, because they have quite a nice run coming out. They got West Brom, Norwich, and Sunderland, their first three games in the league out of the international break, and then Villa. So four very winnable games coming out, which could be huge. And then they play Man City right before Christmas. So they have every chance in the world to be top at Christmas in the Premier League.
I wonder what Christmas will mean, if this will be different than other years. You know what I mean? Because obviously with Chelsea not being in the mix, I think we all anticipate them to go on some type of run and be in some top 10 conversation and at hopefully Christmas, if not at least January, be a team where the bigger boys are desperate for points, or the teams fighting to stay in the top four conversation, a la Spurs, are struggling to play teams like Chelsea again. I wonder how much merit Christmas will have. You know, they're not giving away the Herbstmeister in the
No, there's no Herbstmeister, but yeah, I mean, I think, again, this season it's just almost who's going to run with it? Because it is wide open.
Yeah.
It is. These teams, we've seen only through 12 matches inconsistencies, and it's a more wide open season than ever, which is saying a lot, because it always is. So, yeah, Arsenal still have every shot, and, you know, I wouldn't get too discouraged by that result. I think that Spurs are better than a lot of people gave them credit for. You know, Arsenal had a good pushback. They could have won it coming off a trip to Germany where they got battered. I think that the outcry, and there was a lot of it, I think Arsenal fans, it wasn't a bad result. It's not something to get too down about, and you're still, you know, tied for the top of the league 12 matches in, long way to go. Come out of that international break against those four teams that are all in the bottom half and take even 10 points, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I still see them being in pole position, because I think that if you get a few of those guys back, we mentioned you're certainly not going to have all of them at the same time. I still like them better than City, I think, over the marathon.
Yeah.
There's going to be spurts, but the marathon, I just feel like they're so due. And we've seen, you know, when they're on their day, they are unstoppable when they're on their day.
I can't put my money on Arsenal. Like, I just couldn't bet. I still think that Man City have more of the title winning feel to it, the title pieces.
Sure.
They have a lot of flaws, definitely. But I think Man City, over the course of it, are going to be the better team. And I think that they're rightly the favorites, the betting favorites, and I think that they're the choice. But Arsenal are probably second on that list for me. I think Arsenal are the second best team in England right now, and we'll fight them to the end. But right now, if I had to choose, I'd definitely go with Man City still.
Well, come Christmas or the new year, I think United fans might argue otherwise, because they keep stringing together clean sheets and stringing together wins, United beating West Brom 2-0, which... That's the fixture I saw at Old Trafford. I just realized that now. 3 years ago, that was my first trip to Old Trafford. It's funny, everyone talks about the most famous academy class ever, which I just watched the movie 92, by the way. Have you seen it? It's on Netflix.
What is it?
The documentary on the 92 United side.
No, I haven't seen it. It's on Netflix.
It's really good. Yeah.
I got Netflix like a month ago. I still find like you miss stuff. You don't see it. Oh, so there's so many things on there. It's
and there's
like,
a lot of garbage.
There's a lot of garbage. You need like people to tell you. The only like the best things I've watched is by people telling me, oh, yeah, it's on Netflix. How did you find that? Like, what? I got a long week of doing nothing long this week, list. So I'll be all over Netflix. I'll write that down.
Last week, this Soccer Center podcast was brought to you by Show Me. Today it's Netflix. Sorry,
please order
Ed
Show
Rogers.
Me.
Yeah, please order Show Me. We need it. I don't get benefits, remember?
Someone's bitter.
I mentioned the Old Boys because they own Salford, as you know, or at least half of them own Salford, or I forget the contingency, but it's the Old Boys Club. I think Bex is in on it, Giggs, both Nevilles, and Nicky. I think Nicky Butt. Yep. They all own Salford, and they beat Notts County in the FA Cup on Friday.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah,
and then they get to watch Jesse Lingard win it for United on Saturday.
He's been really, really good. Obviously with the goal, whatever. But he hit the bar against Man City late when it was 0-0. He hit the bar, I think, in the Champions. He hit the woodwork two games in a row. Mm. But he's growing into quite a player already before our eyes. It's one of the Hopefully for them, he's not the next Federico Makeda.
Yes.
Impressive early on and then disappears. But if I told you that Man United's best two attacking players, again on November 9th, would be Anthony Martial and Jesse Lingard, you would have said who 3 months ago, right? I would have.
We said go back to producing Tim and Sid.
Yeah, exactly. Who are you talking about? I mean, and that just shows the lack of quality that they have up front. I mean, they're lucky that these two kids have both been great. Somebody they, plucked from Monaco, and then a kid from the academy who I don't think that they expected to have this much of an impact and that they'd be relying on so much this early in the season. Like, for that, Man United fans, thank God that those two players are playing so well.
But, in January when United bring in Zlatan Ibrahimovic, which is the rumor, and Lingard gets loaned out to Coventry, we'll never hear about him.
I think they played at Derby last season, so...
I think that Jesse Lingard reminds me a lot of Danny Welbeck because, I mean, he's faster. I think maybe it's just the timing. Maybe I just feel as though that the timing when Danny Welbeck started to get the plaudits and started to get the attention. I remember doing the podcast with you and saying, we saw him go on loan a bunch of times and think, he's got some skill but not enough to hold down a spot. Now we're having the conversation saying he deserves consideration despite his age because he's bloody earning it and no one else, few other guys out there are.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is too, for young players like this, to first get a start in the Champions League and play well. I think he was one of the best players on the field against CSKA Moscow, and then I think he was the best player on the field against West Brom, gets that first start. Then you can start to build on that, right? And going forward, and you kind of knock off, check those boxes of first, and then you hopefully, for him, becomes a regular player. And right now with the squad, with how it's looking up top, it's not going to be all that surprising. I mean, Memphis is going to work back in there at some point. Yeah. And
well, I think he might be falling out of favor. I think the couple stories about him starting to feel the pressure of that, maybe that number 7 shirt, perhaps because he's been dropped a few times. I forget the succession hour, which games it was, but he's been dropped a few times and I don't think he's that polish that or the real shine that we saw early, I don't think that's consistent for him. I think that was his flaw before the World Cup in Brazil, but we only saw the shiny prize there on the biggest stage.
Somebody that's fitting in nicely, quietly, and it's surprising quietly for a guy that name, though, Schweinsteiger's really starting to fit in the Premier League, right? And you always kind of knew he would, and you wondered about the move because he's older, but I think that he's really had a good influence on that team. And, Schneiderlin was out this weekend, but I think that there's a reason they're getting so many clean sheets, and they have 8 of them. And, we kid around defensive this and that, and fans are kind of on them. And, again, it took a kind of moment of brilliance from Lingard and a late penalty. The result maybe looked a bit better than it was, and they've still only scored 17 goals this season, but... Giving up the fewest in the league, 8, right? And that is going to get you points. And there's a reason they're 2 points back. And nobody's really talking to them as a title contender because I don't know if they have that polish and enough going forward. But after 12 matches, if you told Man United fans you'd be 2 points off the top, they'd probably have taken it. And you've conceded the least goals in the league, only 1 at home. They're playing better than people are giving them credit for.
Yeah. Because it's this project, this Van Catenaccio, as we're going to dub it on this podcast, I think, that United fans don't want to see, I think, their team go through. When have they ever had to work at it? You know what I mean? Yeah. And to expect there to be some bumps along the way. But at the same time, I think after watching the last couple of seasons and this season starting kind of quicker, I think, than United fans would have wanted. They didn't really have the team settled again. And they're relying on, you know, a mishmash at the back. But Marcos Rojo, with his goal line clearance there, was huge. And you can make the argument that Chris Smalley has been the best center back in the Premier League this year.
He definitely could.
Which is crazy.
In fact, I would say he has been.
Isn't that nuts?
He's been outstanding. Yeah, it's quite the turnaround.
And sorry, Sylvain Distin, but...
John Stones and Chris Smalling in the future. England's looking pretty, pretty good back there. Tiger Sammy, one of our regulars, one of my favorites, asked another game, another goal for Vardy. Seeing as he isn't cup tied for Europe, do you see him moving in January? And I just kind of thought as we're talking about, and what price range, if so. Man United could probably use Jamie Vardy right about now, eh? Would you be shocked to see them throw £30 million at Leicester for Jamie Vardy? About £30 million?
In January?
Right?
It's the thing is that, like, both them and Arsenal need to make a January signing for a front man and someone who scores goals. And the craziest thing, if you go on, if there's a website that catalogs this, we're just throwing out app ideas for you people that are smarter than us, by the way. You think Snapchat's the biggest thing? Wait till you invent these two. If you look at the top scorers in all of the top leagues in Europe, Robert Lewandowski is the top of the Bundesliga. Cristiano Ronaldo is the leading goal scorer in Spain. Gonzalo Higuain is the top scorer in the Serie A.
I wouldn't have known that.
Jamie Effin Vardy is the top scorer in November in the Premier League.
Sure.
Supposed to be the best league in the world, isn't it? Come on, England. Roy's at the wrong game.
It's not even close.
Roy should have been at Watford on Saturday.
And the best part is that Igalo and Mahrez are tied for second with seven. And your boy Lukaku, who you always dump on, but he's actually... does the job, is also tied for second.
I just, you know what it is with him? It's like I just expect more from him that maybe I don't appreciate when he delivers because I feel it's too inconsistent. Mm. See how far the season goes for Everton. They had a weekend, but we haven't spoken about Liverpool yet. That's how if you didn't realize Sharman wasn't here, now you know. Liverpool 1, Palace 2. Big win for Alan Pardew. Jurgen Klopp tasting defeat in front of the cop for the first time.
Yes, first loss. I mean, it's going to be a work in progress, right? Palace just, they play so well away from home. I mean, it really is. They've won 4 times away from home already. Obviously, they had the big win at Chelsea. Now they win at Liverpool. Just an entertaining team to watch.
Play with no fear away.
No fear. Bolasie is such a good player. I think that's a guy that might be on the move in the near future.
Yeah.
You know, just such a crafty player. The kind of player that, you know, just excites you and gets, you know, your team in a position to have chances, burning guys on the wing. He's a great player. He's one of my favorites in the league, actually. He doesn't get a lot of credit at all. It's just a solid, solid team. One of those that the confidence is there and they're going to finish in the top half, and they can get these results against the big boys anytime because, again, you're right, no fear. They've gone to Anfield and the Bridge in the last month and just been fantastic.
One thing that I forgot until you were reminded of it watching them lose was that Liverpool were unbeaten in 12. Mm. That's the longest run since in 3 years.
Yeah, it's just because so many draws, right, and some disappointing draws in there. I mean, home to Norwich and others that, it doesn't seem like they're on that good a run, but
enough. But yeah, I agree with you. The Palace, though, like they are very fun to watch and they're tricky to play. And you know, I don't think that Liverpool will beat themselves up about that. But at the end of the day, they lost to a very good team. And the thing with Palace and watching that, especially towards the end, they just wanted it. Mm. They really wanted it. And good for Scott Dan, Merseyside boy, grows up there, supports Liverpool. Scores against them in front of the cop. It's a feeling that you and I will never share. But the playoffs for our co-ed league is tomorrow night. So Sharman better be resting up. I don't know if he's got laryngitis or what his excuse is this week. We never know.
You guys
Sharman
made the
just
playoffs?
Sends us text message. Yeah, we made the
How'd
playoffs.
How'd you manage that?
Shocking.
Every team made it?
Sharman
it's
missed
like the
three
CFL?
Sharman missed 3 weeks. No, it isn't the CFL. There are 5 teams. 4 make it. We finished 4th.
Oh, so 80% make it. So we were CFL 66%. So it's even worse.
I was quite nervous because last week we were bottom of the table. We'd come in level on 4 points with Dirty Squirrels or whatever the other team's name was. Something like that. Dirt Squirrels. And I thought,
amazing.
Charmin texts me and says, can't go. Got some devilish child infection that my kid brought home from Montessori school. Oh, great. Who knows what you're dealing with? Okay, fine. So go out there, just 8 bodies. No Canadian former international Lexi Martin. She wasn't there. I thought, good luck. Like, we're getting any result here. 4-0 at halftime. Lost 4-0. I thought, that's it. Good season, everyone. Okay, see you at the Dome in the winter at some point, end of January. Then get this lovely email to realize that, are we playing Dirty Squirrels, did I say? No, they're battling with Dirty Squirrels.
Okay.
Yeah, they lost 5-0. Oh. We're through.
There.
So we're
one
into the playoffs.
One point got you there.
Yeah, one goal, which I haven't contributed with any goals this season, but who knows, the playoffs. So hopefully Sharma's ready for Tuesday, and for all of you that don't care about men's league, well, hopefully you're playing at least in men's league or some co-ed league yourselves to entertain yourselves. What matches have I ignored here as we
Aston Villa 0, Manchester City 0. Thoughts?
No, I don't think. I think we did that.
That's
didn't
a
we
good
talk
point.
We talked about City.
It's a good point for you.
It's yeah.
That's a building block.
On guard, Premier League.
Yes, Remy Gard. It's a good result. I mean, what do you want?
Right? No, it's a. They were incredibly fortunate. They didn't deserve to come away with a point there, but you do have to celebrate it because you can hope that, you know, at least mentally it gives them some confidence going through. At least until Christmas time, because they do have to play like a top 4 team to stay up. They really need to string together a good run. And when you take a point off the team that's probably going to be champions at the end of the year, bottom versus the top, anytime you can split with that, I think the weight is so big for a bottom team.
Yeah. And I mean, I think one of the things this year is that there aren't that many poor teams. Mm-hmm. I think in previous years, you know, when a bigger team like a Villa is down there, you just think, oh, there's so many bad teams that they'll be okay. But you look at it this year, and other than Sunderland and maybe Bournemouth, who are also in that bottom three, Newcastle are talented enough, and I think they're starting to show it.
Yeah.
They were, you know, Elliot was amazing on Saturday against Bournemouth to get him that win. But the signs are there, and I think that although they might be in the mix, they're a pretty decent team. Obviously, Chelsea's in there. Norwich are solid enough. Swansea, as you go up the table, I mean, Swansea will be fine. They've had a bad run, and they're not playing great, but they're a mid-table team. Mm-hmm. West Brom, solid. I'd be surprised if they're dragged in there too much. I mean, I don't think they're going to finish higher than 14th or 15th, but they're solid. Stoke are a very good team. Watford look great. They could get pulled into it, but as these points, I mean, Villa are 11 points behind Watford.
It's shocking.
Villa are 11. That's a scary number. I mean, when you look at it and you just, yeah, it's early and they're only five, but look at the teams. I mean, the teams that you would think that might be in that when the year starts, they're not, right? Yeah. I mean, and so you start to think, well, 3 of these teams have to go down. And Sunderland are in massive trouble. Like, they are just, even Allardyce in there, they had that initial bit of a boost, but losing at home again this weekend. A couple of big, big teams with big histories and big followings could go down this year.
Villa is QPR this year.
Yeah.
Because you just look at them each week saying, hey, you're going to get these 3 points, because the only win this year will be finishing 17th.
Yeah.
You can't expect anything better. That is your ceiling.
They haven't won since the opening day.
Finished 7th week. We beat Bournemouth.
And then they
drew
Newcastle.
Welcome to the prime. Hello, 12,000 people.
That was their first point since August.
Yeah. Since drawing Newcastle with, what, the second,
the second
or third match.
They,
yeah,
had four, match. They had 4 points after 2 matches.
Right.
They now have 5 after 12.
That is disgusting.
I mean, I obviously that's the reason that they have a new manager and,
sure,
and whatnot. But, you know, as you watch teams like Watford and West Brom and all these teams and Norwich pick up points week after week, right? Norwich beat Swansea. That's when it starts to get scarier and scarier for teams like Villa and Sunderland. As you watch the teams that you're supposed to be tracking down pull away from you a bit more, oh boy, like, you could be staring at a huge deficit at Christmas. And that's the beauty of the league. I mean, every result matters, and they matter now. And you better get yourself in gear, because you could dig a hole that You don't want to be pulling the Sunderland, having to win your last four matches to stay up, you know?
I know. Two takeaways from this. One, I'm happy that Brad Guzan had the match that he did, because I think that he really got a bad rap this year, being dubbed the worst keeper in the Premier League, because for the last few years, he'd arguably been one of the best.
Great.
And, you know, albeit Villa, you know, toiled with relegation the last three seasons, they would have gone down if he wasn't, you know, half as good as he is. Because he's been one of the most underrated keepers. Stopping shots with his face. It's going to be good for the confidence level. It's definitely good for the team going forward. So I'm excited to see what happens under Remy Gard. He's got Charles Nzogbia back in the squad. We'll see what he gets out of those flair players. That seems to be his niche, is that he can get those guys to create. And God, that's the thing that they've missed the most. I mean, you know, prior to this season, you look at the midfield and they'd have one midfielder that had scored any goals in the last 10 seasons. And it was Carlos Sanchez, who'd only scored one goal in his life.
Yeah.
Hadn't scored since he was six, but bagged the one goal against which team, I forget. It was a nice side volley though. Anyway, reminiscing. The other takeaway, because we haven't given City any comment, is it's Manuel Pellegrini styling his hair after Donald Trump. Like, I caught it. I watched the whole match and then came to
Leave
work,
it to you.
Did the highlight pack. Well, no, you know what? There was an ISO of him. I think it was when Sterling blasted the volley at Guzan's face.
Yeah.
And then the shot was of Pellegrini, put his hands to his face, and then pulled his hands away. And his hair was still there on the forehead. And I thought, my God, I missed SNL, so maybe it was the thought.
That's funny, because I haven't PVR. I always just PVR it and watch, like, monologue.
I need to make a point to do that.
It's pretty bad. The show is pretty bad. I don't find it. This gets funny. Yeah. But I usually watch the monologue and, like, maybe the musical act if they're any somewhat decent on PVR. 15 minutes. It's a 15-minute scroll through for me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The international break will be a 15-minute scroll through for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Not too bothered about the playoffs to get into the Euros.
I
was going to suggest next Saturday, actually. I was going to suggest a pub day. You're probably working at night, I guess. But
I would be.
Ukraine play Slovenia at noon, and then it's Sweden-Denmark at 2:45. I was going to suggest maybe a little dog and bear afternoon Saturday bangers and mash kind of get together. So, but you're not too bothered, I guess.
Well, you know, you mentioned bangers and mash. I'll be there.
All right, let's do it.
I think we've said it before. Ever in the Hipsterville, Toronto,
yeah,
aka Queen Street, the best bangers and mash I've had it in the world,
so good.
And been to England several times, is at Dog and Bear.
But like they don't have it on. Like, remember, that's like, oh no, we have game day, we don't have it.
Yeah.
It's like, can I just have it? She's like, okay, don't tell anyone. And then like 5 minutes later, you order it. She's like, I told you not to tell anyone. All right.
I can smell it. It was a big
Hopefully
one.
Ukraine don't pull what they did against France and blow it in the second leg. They need a good first leg.
Because you're not working today, time seems like it's not an issue.
It's not an issue. We're good.
But
we should talk some MLS.
I was just going to move to that conversation there. Because
we touched all those other crappy Premier League games by hitting that relegation.
Yeah, Southampton, good on Koeman. Both Canadian teams come up short, so all three out without a win beyond, well, Montreal's first leg, but without a advancing win. And you know what? I honestly thought one of them was going to go through.
I thought Montreal were going to.
I thought Vancouver were going to go through.
Did you?
I really did. Yeah. But there's something about, and let's start there, because there's something about those Cascadia matches. Well, that rivalry, it's honestly great. Talk about how the Sounders game pulled you in.
Yeah.
To me, when you know it's late at night and you see the Caps battling, and maybe there's a few other things going on, like Sundays in particular with the Sunday Nighter. But when I see them playing those teams, it's always worth watching. For the simple fact is, you don't know what you're going to get from Vancouver, because when they're away, they seem so strong and so with it. When they're at home, they seem so different. I saw them lose to the Sounders this season at BC Place. And then to see them lose the way they did, they just can't find it when they're at home against these teams.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that you always think, oh, 0-0 away from home, first leg, that's a good result. Like, away, you didn't. But then you think, well, as soon as they give up an away goal, now you need two and you're in a world of hurt, right?
Yeah.
That's always the thing in that two-leg format, where if you don't score away in the first one, if you do at home, you're in trouble. And that's you know, what happened to them pretty early enough goal. It was a really nice one, actually. And they just couldn't pull it off. So, I mean, it's too bad because there was an opportunity with all three Canadian teams in and two of them, you know, getting to this stage that maybe we would see one of them make a final or even a semifinal. It's too bad. It's unfortunate for soccer in this country because now everyone's going to tune out MLS again. And
we'll wait for the rumors to see who's, you know, Jamie Vardy.
Unless
the TFC.
We're really in for New York, Columbus, and FC Dallas against Portland. But
I can't
wait for the MLS Cup final of FC Dallas against Columbus. Their ratings bonanza.
Yeah, Don Garber in the office is certainly having some conversations with NBC about how much advertisements should cost, I think, because the price may have changed a little bit, not in the way they wanted. And Didier Drogba, you know, I think people are starting to wonder if he's going to play out his 18-month contract and play next year. But my God, he was fun to watch while it lasted.
It was great,
Montreal.
Yeah. And you could tell he did care. And I mean, even at the end of the match, when they were down by a goal, he was hurrying along and frustration. Like, he's just one of those guys that loves the game, right? Mm-hmm. You can tell. Like, and good on him. He's not one of the guys that just came for a paycheck. And it maybe seemed like that, but, you know, you really grow an appreciation for him.
With that
he
team.
Cares. He loves the game, and he really is a true pro. And you can tell that his teammates love him, and he's just one of the guys. And I don't think he came in with an attitude, he's bigger than this or he's bigger than that. I've always liked Drogba, honestly.
He's
one of the Chelsea players that I always did like. You know,
one of the few.
He's passionate. He's passionate. He's infectious. He's a great player, and hopefully he will be back because it'll be fun to see him for a full season, what he can do. But yeah, they were so close and obviously conceded pretty late to go to extra time, and then had chances even when they were down in extra time. Piatti had an awful miss into Rosed, and it's too bad. I mean, it would have been nice to see them get another home and away and potentially move on, but here we are. Canadian team's failing.
Out, Short sleeves and gloves. That's what did it for Drogba. Didn't get through. But the crew, I mean, Kai Kamara has always been, to me, underrated at MLS. He's a very good MLS player. Was it Norwich he went to?
He went to Norwich,
went to Norwich. And didn't catch on.
He didn't really catch on. He had a handful of matches and scored a goal or two.
But he's a good player, man. He's
good
a
MLS
he's
player,
a
right?
Really
he's
good
perfect
MLS player. I think, perfect MLS player might be the best description. But now that they have an actual footy logo, I can respect the crew to go
so
through.
Boring.
Now, who still uses Barbasol? That's what I want to know. I can't believe that's a sponsor. Who still uses Barbasol?
I don't know.
Like, how many grandpas out there are there that are keeping that company afloat? Shocking.
I think they use it at my barbershop when they do my neck shave. I'll find out. I'm going there after I go to the gym.
How do you spend
big
your
day,
holidays?
Big day.
Hey,
yeah.
Big Monday. Oh, trips to Home Depot. What else?
Big
you got?
Monday. Like holiday. My former
holiday
self
Monday.
Would be so like angry at me that I'm not like blindly hungover today or something.
Yeah.
I'm, like up early this morning, come in for the pod, gonna go to the gym, get a haircut. Like this is what happens in your old age. That's
I
how
guess
you spend your days off, your week off.
Did you have your probiotics for breakfast? You feeling all?
I had a protein shake, actually.
Wow, look at you.
And then this fiber bar and this coffee. We better hurry this along,
different
actually,
man.
After all those.
it is. Ronaldo's film premieres tonight.
Okay.
You seen the trailer for that?
Nah, I don't care.
Oh, it's about his life.
Okay.
It's
so I really don't
have
care.
You seen the trailer for the Bieber film?
No.
Because it's a lot like
again,
that, it looks
care.
Like.
And I'm not going to see the Bond movie. And
really? Why not?
I don't. Not
you never been to the Bond flicks?
I played the Golden Eye once or twice in the old N64 when I was younger, but that's about it.
Once or twice. Oh, speaking of guns, because if you're our age, that was the game where you either had the parent that realized video games are violent and they wouldn't let you play and it was this battle, or you played it and realized yourself as a child, my God, video games are violent and guns are dangerous. I went to the gun range.
Did you?
In Stouffville. And it
how
was
that?
You know what? I was a bit nervous walking in there, and you hear the guns. Everyone around there is so comfortable, it seems. It's just an eerie feeling.
Who'd
for someone
with?
Who's not been familiar with the girlfriend.
Really?
She wants to be an assassin in a movie, not in real
this
life.
This was her idea?
This was her idea, yeah. She wanted to do it for a long time.
Cool.
So we shot 25 rounds each of a 9mm, 10 with a...
You don't look like you took any bullets. So
I know. No, I'm fine. Still walking. 10 from a military-grade rifle and 5 with a shotgun. And you can't shoot that thing without wanting to yell, "Get off my lawn." It just feels like it feels like something else.
Like,
it's a lot of kickback.
It's a lot of kickback. Like, right?
Elaine almost fell over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never shot a real gun. My buddy has like it's not even a real one, but out at his cottage, and we were like shooting some cans last New Year's, and like the kickback, I was like, got it right in the shoulder a couple of times. Holy crap.
For anyone listening who's just not familiar with guns,
this is bits and bobs.
This is definitely bits and bobs. We are wrapping up. You've probably turned off already.
Please.
But I was just going to say that, like, you know, you at first I didn't understand how it can be a shooting sport, like right. what the interest is, until you pick it up and you start doing it and you realize it is exactly that. And it's to me, it's like going to the golf range in that sense. You can do it 1,000 times and just be off by a fraction of what your best is. Me not being much, however, almost blind in one eye. That's the eye I'm using in the scope for this rifle. And so I can hear like the gun minders in the kind of the cubicle there with you. And I can hear him and my girlfriend kind of reacting. You got the big ear plugs on, yeah. Right? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I must be painting the wall because I can't see anything. There's a little red dot in the scope and I can see the white page at the end, but no placement. I can't see any detail at all. I'm literally just firing. Comes back, they're all within a 8-inch radius.
Really?
Oh, I put all 10 in there.
Nice.
Couldn't believe it.
There
so,
you go. So maybe being blind in one eye is the way to go. So anybody who's blind in one eye, start shooting guns. It's Dunlop's
Here's what you've learned today. Dunlop is now comfortable with guns, and Dobby can do mornings and be a productive adult. If you go to bed before 11 p.m., do not go to bed before Kimmel, otherwise you've lost yourself. I think, or Fallon, or whatever show it is.
I'm going to be productive this week. That's my goal on the week off. I'm going to, like, do things I don't normally do. I'm, like, Wednesday I'm going to go to, like, the Remembrance Day thing at City Hall.
Are you?
Think, yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm, like,
cool.
Things that I couldn't normally do when I'm working all the time is my goal for this week.
I don't think I've ever done that.
The veterans do a big gathering, right?
Yeah,
it's like
a TV.
It's something that I couldn't normally do because I'd be working during the day, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to feel like a productive human for a few days. And then next weekend, I'll probably just get obliterated.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned the Remembrance Day because if you watch any Premier League, of course, the Remembrance tributes were a big thing. So at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, take a moment to remember. And lest you forget to download this podcast on iTunes or listen
Bad
to us any other way,
man. Wasn't it?
I'm not.
That's not acceptable.
We'll edit that one out.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been the Footy Show. I'm on a real roll.
Yes, we're leaving all
what
that.
Has this been?
We're leaving all that. That's an amazing ending. And we're canceled.
Charming comeback.
We're canceled.